Once again, it's a joy to see you all here seated. It's a very nice feeling that we have when we are like this. We've been used to Zoom for quite some time now, isn't it? Zoom has become the default, and I just mentioned, I think, a few weeks ago, we don't realize that that is not the ideal situation for us, because the church is never meant to grow in Zoom. I hope you understand that. There have been people over the years that have been using online services for many reasons. Suppose maybe they were sick, they couldn't attend the church. Maybe they were traveling, and so because of that, maybe they couldn't be part of the church. But we never expected Zoom to be, or online services to be, default for every church. We never dreamt that that would happen. Most of the pastors, including me, we always had a negative view of online services for many reasons, and I still have a negative view in some sense, because it is not the most the best thing to happen in a church when we don't. I think it's not just about meeting each other and seeing each other's faces. It's about something more, physical meetings, but not just looking at each other's faces and seeing how we have grown. No, we look at children and say, oh, you have grown, my goodness. You've grown big, or you've grown thin, or you've grown fat. Well, that's not the primary reason why we want to see each other. You see, when we meet each other, there are always things that the Holy Spirit would be doing, especially when we talk very naturally, when we share certain things, and when we hold each other or touch each other or even embrace or just hold someone's hand, and that the feeling is different, isn't it? Recently I just read someone saying like this, so just holding a hand makes all the difference. So can you see what happened over this first few months was not exactly great, and we just should never get used to meeting online like this that we've been doing till now. It's always good to come back, not just attend a Sunday service, but more than that, to see how we can grow together. Fellowship is a word that we can never minimize, and I believe maybe this COVID season was important for us to realize how important fellowship is. You see, when we miss it, we realize that it's precious to us. And so I really believe, even though this, I could call it a time of discipline, I still realize that a lot of good things we learned from what we went through. And so let's continue to ask the Lord to help us. We are almost reaching the end of this year. 2020 is almost getting over, isn't it? It's amazing. So quickly the time passes, and who knows what 2021 is holding for us. And let's expect the Lord to do great things. We are seeing a lot of new things in our church. Even when you saw this morning, new people standing here and helping us to lead worship. You understand? We are really excited about this. Not just about our worship time. We have a lot of changes. You heard about the modules. We really want ourselves to be built up. As you know, during this COVID time, the greatest thing I believe is that we realize we need to be built up. And one thing more I want to mention to you is that even though we had a lot of spare time with us, I think just having spare time was not enough for us to somehow there was this sense, I mean, God has given us a lot of time. We have a lot of spare time. We were also busy, and we have now a lot of spare time with us. But over the months, I began to see that many people who had a lot of spare time were not able to really work or receive as they should have received from God. That's why I just even brought up this title for you this morning. The main title of my series of sermons is called The Workings of God. Because you see, God is not going to work just because we give him some time. This COVID season suddenly gave us a lot of free time. You see, you must have been busy. Suddenly you're all sitting at home. But you see, just because you got free time does not mean that God should work in your life. You see, the ground or the soil is not prepared just because you have given some time to God. The soil is prepared if you are doing something about the soil. How do you make the soil? How does the soil be prepared? How does the soil become soft? You see, if you are saying that I now have time, so God should work in me, I would say that's a wrong picture to have, because actually speaking, the workings of God is all based on how prepared we are. So a few months must have gone without much happening in our lives. Maybe we could not receive so much from this few months as we thought we would receive. Doesn't matter. Let's look ahead. But the truth is this, that God has to work in our lives. You see, can we just pray, please, before we begin? Father, I thank you that you would encourage us this morning for us to begin to see what you want to do in our lives. We want to prepare ourselves to receive from you this morning. And as we spend some time, I pray that you prepare us, anoint us, both those, the one who speaks and the one who listens, O Lord. We ask for your Spirit to work among us in a very special way, even as we work with this topic and begin to see how you are working in our lives, how you need to work in our lives. We give you glory and praise. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I choose this topic very carefully. The workings of God. I have at least three or four different subheadings here. Today's heading is called From Feelings to Forgiveness. See, when we say God is working in our lives, what is he working? Where is he working? And what is he doing? Most of the time we somehow have this picture that I think God is doing something in my life. You see, I believe God is doing something in my life, but we're not really sure. So I really want to say, you see, we should really check out and ask ourselves, what is really God doing in my life today? What is God doing in my life today? It's a very vital question for us to answer. Because you see, we can just continue to just decide something or do something or just plan something and hope that God is doing something. But can you see, unless God is actually working in us, all that we do is not going to help us. So it's vitally important. I just chose this topic, the workings of God, because the more we understand how God works, the more we're able to give him the glory, all right? So we'll begin with this first subheading. It's called From Feelings to Forgiveness. From Feelings to Forgiveness. You see, I believe I'm going to be sharing with you mainly about God's forgiveness, not just about we forgiving each other, even though that's part of it, the whole message. The primary focus would be on God forgiving us. It's a very profound word. It's a very important word for us. I believe forgiveness from God is the most crucial stepping stone for us. Without that, we have nothing. You see, all our efforts to please God, all is in vain if we are not sure that God has forgiven us. You see, Now, I think modern Christianity has failed to emphasize this. Somehow we tell people, hey, come to Jesus, and this is what he's going to do in your life. We have never really emphasized forgiveness as we should, but it's the most important word for us. You see, especially when we begin our journey with God, you see, the most precious thing for us to receive, to hear from God. I have forgiven you. Look at the paralyzed man who was brought down from the roof, you see, and his friends thought they wanted him to be healed. And the first words that Christ told him was this: Son, your sins are forgiven. Now God saw it so important for him to begin his message to us by telling us, you are forgiven. You see, the first word we are supposed to hear from heaven when we start walking with God is this: you are forgiven. You see, just imagine, I think the reason why we don't really emphasize this is we are not sure whether we are really forgiven or not sometimes. I really fear that some people come to church and really they're still not sure. So my call today is to all those of you who still are not sure whether you are forgiven. And my call is also to those who know you are forgiven, but you are struggling struggling with the ongoing work of forgiveness in your life. You are not sure of how God continues his work of forgiving you. So that's my call to you this morning. Let's begin to see how God does this work. Think of how important it is when we think of our relationship. Suppose you have two friends who separated for years and they don't talk to each other. And how precious it is when your friend after years comes and tells you, I forgive you. I want to become friends with you again, you see. It's the most important thing for us, isn't it, to hear that kind of word. I just recently, I'm reminded of one of Wilson's relatives. His name is Ricky. Ricky Abraham is a doctor. He was a doctor. He ENT surgeon. He was maybe 10, 15 years he was working in the health department. And he suddenly found out that he had sarcoma, Ewing's sarcoma, cancer of the bone. So he went through all the treatment. They advised him 17 doses of chemo. And he went through it and he finished 16. And after the 16th chemo, he suddenly had severe pain in the back, somewhere in the lower back. He thought that 17 doses of chemo would completely take away the sickness. But after the 16th dose, suddenly he had severe pain. He went back to the doctor, and doctor said, let's do one more scan. And he found out, to his shock, that the cancer had spread to his vertebra and to his liver. And that was causing the severe pain. And he writes in his blog, I can just give it to you if you want to read his blog. Interesting blog. He passed away just 2 months ago. And in this blog he writes, when I just thought I would be able to come out of this, I just almost finished my treatment, suddenly death stares me in the face. Doctor says, not much hope for you anymore. He says, the first thing that came to my mind was this: 2.5 years back, because of my ego, because of my pride, my wife left me and went back to her home. And he said, the first thing that came to my mind when I heard that this thing is not going to work was this: I want to reconcile with my wife. And he writes in that blog, you see, he writes, 2.5 years I resisted this, even though I knew I fought with her. It was my ego, it was my pride that made her go away. You see. But now, I just want only one thing, to reconcile with her. He immediately called her and called her dad to his home, and he told her dad like this, see, I'm not asking you to send your daughter back to stay with me. Because I know that now you may think that I am asking you to send your daughter back to help me because I'm now sick. I just want to say one thing, please forgive me. He begged the forgiveness from the girl's father. He begged forgiveness from his wife. And he says there was no greater joy than to hear my wife say, I'm coming back to stay with you. You see, and she was with him till he passed away just 2 months ago. You see, these are the things that actually really makes us think. I really need to know about forgiveness. I really want to understand more about forgiveness, you see. And I'm just going to look at two portions of two people, actually. One is Esau. You see, Esau, in the book of Hebrews, it says very interesting verse is there in Hebrews talking about Esau. And you can, if you want, you can take your Bibles and read this from verse 15 to 17. I'll read it out to you. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled, that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. I think you know the story of Esau, don't you? He actually sold his birthright. He gave his birthright to his younger brother Jacob just because he was so hungry. You know, I mean, I don't know what about birthright, how much you know about birthrights, because we don't have this kind of things in our culture. But in the Hebrew culture, the birthright means the older son gets more of the inheritance. He is supposed to be the big man. He has the birthright. He's like the eldest son. And it's possible for you to give it away as well. Now, I mean, in Kerala, we have this interesting custom that you have two boys, or your parents have two sons. Now, they will decide to give the family home to the older son or the younger son. Yeah? Young, strangely to the younger son, not even the older son. But in the Hebrews, in the Hebrew custom, the older son really had the birthright, and Esau, just for a meal. Now, it's very interesting, it says here, and I never said, this phrase is never mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. It says, there be immoral or godless person like Esau. Why does the Bible use this statement? You see, it says, immoral or godless person. Now, you may say, well, Esau felt hungry and he just gave his birthright away. But you see, the Bible mentions that even when he was giving his birthright over to Jacob, the Bible talks about him as immoral and godless. And afterwards, when he was supposed to get the blessing from his father Isaac, he was deceived by Jacob. Now you may think, well, Esau was deceived. He was cheated. He didn't do anything wrong. He went out to buy some, he wanted to kill some animal to bring to his father Isaac, and in between this Rachel and Jacob, they played a nice game and they took away Esau's blessing. So isn't that wrong on Jacob's part? Now what's the real picture that we ought to receive from here? You see, the thing is this, Esau being a immoral or a godless person like he was, even before his father Isaac asked him to come for the blessing. What we can understand from this is that Esau, you see, was not ready, was not actually deserving of the blessing. Now he cried with love. It says, he sought for it with tears. He said, "Oh, Father, don't you have one blessing for me also?" It seems he was, you see, wanting a second chance. "Can't you give me a blessing also?" he cried out to his father. You see, the problem was this. Esau was crying, but it was not cries of proper repentance. He was upset. Now, if he had looked back, just think of it for a moment. Esau was living with his father Isaac and Jacob and his mother Rachel for many years, and he knew all about the God of Abraham and Isaac, his dad. It was not that he didn't know anything about God, you see. But all this while, he was just a moral and a godless person. And when he finally was wanting the blessing, the blessing was not there for him. He cried out for it. Now, one Bible scholar said like this, if there was a sign, if there were these tears were tears of genuine repentance, maybe he would have received a blessing as well. But you see, Jacob's blessing for Esau was not the kind of thing that he wanted to hear. And how do you know that Esau didn't actually properly repent? You know why? The moment he did not receive the blessing, he decided in his heart he is going to kill Jacob. See, I've seen people like this. They come and say, "Well, oh, Pastor, see, I'm really sorry about this. I'm sorry this happened, and I really want to change. And I please pray for me that things will change. Please pray that this would happen in my life. I am really sorry." You can even see tears in their eyes. They really want to change the same. But when things don't happen their way, they get angry. "I've been praying for so long. Why didn't God answer my prayer? Pastor, you didn't pray enough. My family is at fault. They did this to me. They did that to me." So you see, it's tears. That's why I brought this heading. I put this heading for you. From feelings to forgiveness. We can have all kinds of feelings, but we may not be actually receiving proper forgiveness from heaven. You can be crying out. You can be weeping. You can be feeling very sorry about yourself. "Oh, I'm ready to change," you say. But are you really in a place where you think God can actually forgive you? Now the sad thing today is believers actually have not really experienced forgiveness from heaven in a big way. So we're going to see what real forgiveness is all about. What happens when God forgives us? Because you see, that's the most important thing for it to happen in our lives. And there are definite evidences for that when God forgives you. You can't just live your life hoping that you have been forgiven. And even after you are saved, you see, The fact that you start living in sin and you don't even know that you need to ask forgiveness from God so that you can be restored to Him. We have even teaching that tells us once God forgives you, you are forgiven once for all. You don't even need to ask forgiveness from God anymore. And it's verses like 1 John that then bring a spanner into the works, isn't it? 1 John says, if you confess your sin, I don't know how people fail to see that verse in the Bible. If you confess your sin, the issue is, have we confessed the way God wants us to confess? How do we confess? Oh Lord, I'm sorry. So I would say Esau is an excellent example of someone who had tears, who sought for repentance but couldn't find it, you see. It's amazing, isn't it? The Bible says like this, he sought for repentance, he sought for change. But it was not really in the place for him to receive. The moment he realized that things didn't go his way, you see, is that what forgiveness is all about? Suppose you go and ask someone, you tell someone, please forgive me. He says, I will not forgive you. He says, I knew it. You fool. You see, you're supposed to forgive me. You will go to hell. You see, we are the one who went, who asked for forgiveness. But just because we couldn't get the right response, we get angry. I knew it. You're worse than me. At least I came to ask you for forgiveness. Who do you think you are? Oh my, all the reactions that we have just shows us we don't have proper confession in our hearts. When we ask for forgiveness, you see, we're not really there. You must have heard this statement at least sometime or the other. This is a very common statement that we use. If God forgives you, isn't it? We say like this, the only way we can forgive someone from the heart is when we know how God forgave us. Yeah, you must have heard that statement. The only way you can forgive someone from the heart is when you know how much God forgave you. So I used to think about that for quite a long time. And I used to ask myself, why is it that we still find it so difficult to forgive? What are we supposed to know about how God forgave us? How can God forgiving us make a difference in our lives so that we are now ready to forgive somebody who really hurt us? I'm telling you, that person may have really hurt you. But what is it about God forgiving you that should make you then say, because God forgave me? No. You see, we just can't take that as a blind statement. So I just want to sort of unravel that statement. Just open it up. What is it all about when God forgave us? You see, the two things I would like to say about that. Do you know how much it actually grieves God and hurts God when we continue in our rebellion? Have you ever thought of it that way? Now you rebel against your dad. Suppose you are a young boy here, teenager boy here, any one of you sitting here, and you are angry with your dad. You are upset with him. You see, And maybe for no reason, actually. Maybe your dad didn't have money to give you, and you just thought he should give you money. You're really angry with him. Have you ever realized how much pain and hurt your father would have in his heart? And for him to continue to love you, for him to continue to bless you, it's not easy. You see, when we this goes on and off, I'm sorry. When we think about this one aspect of how much we have hurt God, you see, when we actually rebelled against Him, and God still forgave us. You see, God still forgave us. Now that's one thing, you see, the fact that it pains the heart of God, it really hurts Him every time He sees man ignoring Him, the God of the universe who created man. Every time He sees man just not even looking at Him or calling out to Him, how much pain and hurt God feels. Have you ever thought of the hurt? I mean, it's not right to even use the word hurt, but actually it is. Kind of a grief that He carries with when He sees us, man. So in that sense, can you begin to see that God forgave us out of great sacrifice? So when you are supposed to forgive somebody, you see, it should be out of a great sacrifice that you are making, even though that person does not deserve it. You are forgiving him because God forgave you. The same way you hurt God and He still forgave you, the same way this person hurt you, but you still decided to forgive him. That's one thing. Can someone help me with this, please? It's not coming. Okay. But can you see, there's one more important thing here. There's another important thing I want you to look at this verse, please. Psalm 32 and verse 5. It says, you see, I acknowledge my sin. It's David talking to God and saying, I have acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I will not hide. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. You see, you forgave the guilt of my sin. In Malayalam it says, Pabathinte kuttam. What is it all about, you see? Do you see, we're all carrying guilt inside us. See? It is not just that we sin, but there is that guilt of sin inside us. And God actually removes that guilt away from us. You see? And when you forgive someone, not only the fact that you may have wronged that person also at the same time. So can you see, there is that guilt is being taken away from both you and from that person. It's so important for you, isn't it? David was carrying guilt. And only the forgiveness of God that he received could take away the guilt from inside him. So you see, we all carry guilt until we receive forgiveness. It's not just that we feel bad about it. There is guilt inside us. And so you see, it is so important for us to forgive as God forgave us, because it is not only to remove the hurt and the grief, but also to remove the guilt You forgave the guilt of my sin. You see, when you find that the guilt has been removed, there is a release in your life that is so amazing. I don't know about you, but when I was born again, I found amazing freedom. I found amazing gladness, amazing joy in me. Why? I didn't even know that God was taking away the guilt out of me. So real forgiveness, let's look at what real forgiveness does, all right? Let's go to Psalm 51, where we see about David and how he confessed and received forgiveness. It's very interesting. You see, I will actually give you 5 points and then I'll close. But these are the things that we learned from David's repentance in Psalm 51. You see, it's amazing to realize what real repentance is all about. We don't have time to go read the entire chapter to you, but if you can just go through it even now for just a few minutes, I could point out a few things to you. I don't think it's there on my notes, but if you can just read it yourself, or maybe we don't have time, so you can just read it in your Bibles, all right? And then as you read, I just want to point out a few things to you, you see. It's an amazing psalm. The first thing to note in the first few verses is this. David is confessing with great feeling. David is confessing with great feeling. You see, can someone read out the first 3 verses, please, for me? The first 3 verses in Psalm 51. Anyone?
Have mercy on me, O God, because of your failing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night.
Amazing, isn't it? You see, here is someone who sinned. You may say that that's a big sin he did. But the issue is, you see, he felt deeply about his sin. Oh, how many of us are in that place? How many of us ever come to that place? See, now, if I ask you here, how many of you sin? You all raise your hands. If I ask you how many of you have sinned against somebody, you'll all raise your hands. If I ask you how many of you have sinned in the past 1 month, you may still raise your hands. How many of you hurt somebody? Just yesterday I called up somebody over the phone because I knew I hurt him from what I said. And as I was preparing for the message, I really felt like calling him. I said, please forgive me. I know I hurt you. He said, it's okay, Pastor. I know we don't have anything. I said, no, but I want to ask you to forgive me. Not for your sake primarily, but it's for me. So you see, when we sin, whether it's big or small, how many of us, you see, come to this place, the confession of David, the first 3 verses, what does it say? Oh God. It's amazing how David put it across. Number 2, we see, you see, the first thing is he's confessing, great feeling, he's not blaming anyone or anything, no blaming anyone here. Oh Lord, I confess, but you see, this is why it happened. We all have our buts, isn't it? Oh Lord, you know how it happened, but, oh Lord, if that had not happened that way, if that cat had not crossed the road, I would have not hit the car. If I did not hit the car, I would not have got angry with the other fellow. Now he hit me, I hit him, we are both in jail today. You see? But you see, God, that cat. First thing is that we confess without blaming anyone or anything. Number two, along with the feelings, there is revelation being given to David. Can someone read from verse 4, please? Just see how revelation has been given to David. Even when he's confessing, he's getting things from God. God is telling him, hey, look at this, just think for a moment. He says, in sin my mother conceived me. Yes, please read from verse 4.
Against you,
and you alone,
have I sinned.
What an amazing thing, isn't it, when we sin. David, just ask David, David, against whom did you sin? He says, I have sinned. Someone else may say, he sinned against Bathsheba. He sinned against Bathsheba's wife, her husband, and killed him. He sinned against his people, against his soldiers. So many people were hurt. I mean, just imagine sending Uriah to the front line to be killed. Other people would also have been sent. They would have died also along with Uriah the Hittite. You see. Against you only have I sinned and did what is evil in your sight. Oh God, I sinned against you first. But David, you sinned against Uriah. You see, this is what revelation does, my dear friends. When we are in the right place, we understand what is the real truth. Against you only have I sinned. How could David say this? Because he saw his God was pained most of all. Oh God, I have sinned against you. You are hurt. You are grieving more than anyone else on earth. I pained you. That's real confession, my friend. Next verse.
For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me.
I was born forth in iniquity. In sin my mother conceived me. You see, these are truths coming up with David. I mean, just imagine how. I mean, no one would even think of things like this when we confess. You see? How many of us bring this kind of things up when we confess to God? Do we ever say, Lord, I sin, but I know I'm not that bad. I promise I will never do it again. That's what we usually say, isn't it? I'm okay, oh God, I'm okay. I'm sorry that I made this mistake, but Lord, I will never make this mistake again. Here we find David saying, hey, you see, in sin my mother conceived me. I was born in sin, oh God. Surely my hands are stained. Receiving amazing revelation. Right from verse 4 downwards. The third point I want to make is this. You see, he is clear about the evidence of having received forgiveness. So if you look carefully into that psalm later down, if you see, at least four times the word joy is mentioned there. At least four times you would find the word joy. Joy. You see. It's amazing, isn't it? So some of us think, hey, I confessed, I didn't feel anything, you see. But surely there is this sense of joy when you come to a place where God is saying, He's pleased with your confession. He's pleased with your calling out to Him. And David says very wonderfully, he says, you see, make me to hear joy and gladness, you say in verse 8, isn't it? Let my bones which you have broken rejoice. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, he says in verse 12, you see. telling you, my dear friends, when we truly confess, when we truly confess to God, you see, there is this great sense, or at least you will know a difference when you have received forgiveness from heaven. Now you may not experience great joy, but a lack of joy is surely one of the signs of receiving forgiveness from God. You see, a lack of joy is one of the sure signs of not asking and receiving forgiveness. Every time we confess, God gives us a sense of joy and gladness. You see, number four point that David makes is this, that we understand from David's psalm is this. He is requesting God to take him further on. He says, then I will sustain me with a willing spirit. He says in verse 12, verse 13 says, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Amazing, isn't it? Verse 4 says he's requesting God in point number 4 to take him further on. And finally, point number 5, he continues, he wants to continue serving God. He says, oh Lord, you will delight in righteous sacrifices, the last verse of that chapter. So I just brought these few points up for you to understand. These are the things that forgiveness does. This is real forgiveness. This is real confession. See, one of the things, the reasons why forgiveness is not the ultimate thing for us, you know why? We don't realize what change really is. What change can really happen? You see? Now, the memories of your past may not be taken away from you. God will never remove away the memories out of your mind. Yes, if you have sinned, it will remain as a memory all your life. Sometimes, you know, because of that, some people are not even able to forgive themselves. I know many people find it difficult to forgive themselves after they have sinned, and even after they have asked forgiveness from God, they somehow are not able to forgive themselves. Now the memory may not go, but remember, it is God who says he forgave you. And it is him alone that needs to say that. You have to begin to accept the fact that if God has forgiven you, you have to forgive yourself, because you were made for him. You see? If you don't forgive yourself, it just shows that you think that you made yourself. But you are not your own creation. God created you for himself, and he says, I have forgiven you. I have taken away your sin. I have taken away the guilt of your sin. You are restored. And if that's the case, we have to say, Lord, yes, I accept and I rejoice, because ultimately when it is you with whom I have to do. It is you with whom I have to do. And if you say you have forgiven me, then surely I can forgive myself. Because you see, he knows us more than we know ourselves. We may not be able to forgive ourselves because we think that we are a good person. When God says, I know you from the inside out, and I have forgiven you. And so you better forgive yourself, because I want to continue my work in you. God says, I want you to continue serving me. I have taken away your guilt. One final question, and then I'll close. What if you say, I don't want to forgive. I don't want forgiveness. I don't see it's a big thing. Why should I ask for forgiveness? Why should I set things right? There are so many reasons why things happen in my life. Let me just end by saying this, my dear friends. It is possible for curse to remain in you. Possible for sickness to remain in you. You are losing out. You can't forgive. David says, my flesh, my bones, everything is suffering. So don't you think that if you don't forgive, this doesn't matter. Jesus Christ gives it great importance when he says, if you do not forgive, my Heavenly Father will not forgive you. So I want to close with giving you just a few minutes, just meditating maybe on the psalm. You can just read the Psalm 51 and just study it for a few moments, and then you can just ask yourself, oh Lord, am I in a right place where I am truly enjoying my ongoing forgiveness? I know I've been forgiven. I know that you forgave my sins. But I'm still struggling with ongoing forgiveness. Every time I sin, I just make excuses for it, oh God. Every time I sin, I just don't realize the importance of asking or confessing from you. I don't even want to come to you. Oh Lord, show me the greatness of my sin. Help me to pray like David prayed. Give me a sense of how much it pains you every time I sin. Don't take it lightly, my dear friends. There is nothing bigger than receiving forgiveness from God. There is nothing bigger than giving forgiveness to others. Let's spend a few moments in silence, and then we'll close in prayer. Can we pray, please? Father, we thank you that you want to work in us. And that's what makes the difference in our lives. To know that you have begun a good work in us. You have begun a good work in us. It's never by what we have done or who we are. But even before you came on earth, you saw us. And we want to move from feelings to forgiveness. Because it is so possible for us to be deceived with feelings and thinking. And just having some kind of external feelings. It has to go deeper than that, O Lord. We want to sense real forgiveness. We want to ask for forgiveness. We want to receive forgiveness. We want to give forgiveness. And we know it's real. We know when it happens, there is an evidence. There are evidences for it. There are things that happen that can break. There are things that can move. There are things that can that we can receive. Oh Lord, if only we could see how big forgiveness is. We come to you right now and we ask that you would give us a revelation of the whole aspect of forgiveness. Cause us to see the hindrances that is there in our life. Help us not to be like Esau, who was angry. Even after he cried and begged, oh Lord, we realize real forgiveness is not making excuses or not even blaming anybody else. We need the cleansing. We need the change. We need to feel a sense of joy and gladness. So we bring ourselves to you at this time. Teach us your ways. Work in us what is pleasing in your sight. Help us to continue our journey. We might know more about how you work in us. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We saw from feelings to forgiveness. Next week we will see from bondages to breakthroughs. All right. God bless you all. Have a great time. Have a great week.